The tanker sinking off Oman is one data point in a broader picture of how the Iran conflict has destabilized the entire region. The Houthis claimed a drone attack on a Saudi Aramco refinery this week, which, if confirmed, would mark one of their most significant strikes against Saudi energy infrastructure since the 2019 Abqaiq attack, which temporarily knocked out about 5% of global oil supply. Saudi Arabia hasn't confirmed the strike's success, but the claim alone is enough to rattle energy markets.
The Houthis have been extraordinarily difficult to suppress. Their drone and missile capabilities have evolved significantly. Their supply chain has Iranian fingerprints all over it. And they've demonstrated a willingness to escalate that seems disconnected from whatever happens diplomatically. Even if the U.S. and Iran reach an agreement tomorrow, it's not clear the Houthis would stand down. They've shown they have their own strategic interests in this conflict.
Shifting to Europe, President Zelensky issued a sharp condemnation this week over what he characterized as Russian strikes launched from Serbian territory. This is an extremely serious allegation. Serbia has maintained formal neutrality in the Ukraine war while also maintaining close ties with Moscow. If Russian strike capabilities are being staged from Serbian soil, that implicates a NATO neighbor in a direct attack on Ukraine and raises questions about Serbian sovereignty or complicity.
Serbia's government has denied any knowledge of such activity, but the allegations alone are damaging. The EU has been trying to keep Serbia on a path toward European integration, and this kind of accusation complicates that enormously. Meanwhile, the Patriot missile defense system, supplies that Ukraine desperately needs, are reportedly slowing down, partly due to the same production constraints the Pentagon is now ordering manufacturers to fix.
And then there's the Musk-Starlink situation, which deserves more attention than it typically gets. Musk refused again this week to allow Ukraine to use Starlink connectivity for strikes inside Russian territory. This is the same boundary he enforced when Ukrainian forces attempted to use Starlink to coordinate a drone attack on the Russian Black Sea Fleet in 2023. His argument is that he doesn't want Starlink to become a weapon of offensive war. But from Ukraine's perspective, the distinction between defensive and offensive operations inside their own territory is not as clean as Musk draws it.
The strategic implication is real. Starlink is woven into Ukrainian military operations at almost every level: logistics, communications, targeting for defensive operations. The fact that a private company's policy decisions are constraining a nation's warfighting options is genuinely new terrain in international relations, and there's no governance framework for it. The Army's decision to remove its top general in Europe this week adds to a sense of institutional disruption within the U.S. military establishment at a critical moment.
In the Pacific, the State Department formally rejected China's framing of the Scarborough Shoal as a nature reserve. Beijing established this designation to rationalize denying Filipino fishermen access to waters they've fished for generations. The State Department's language was pointed. They called the environmental pretext dubious, which is diplomatic for calling it a lie.
The Scarborough Shoal has been a flashpoint since China effectively seized it in 2012. The Philippines has a mutual defense treaty with the United States, and the Biden administration had explicitly stated that an attack on Filipino vessels in the South China Sea would trigger U.S. treaty obligations. The current administration's position on that specific commitment is worth watching. China's move to dress up a territorial claim as environmental stewardship is sophisticated. It's harder to argue against conservation than against naked aggression.